So today I'm reading from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. It's on page 1172 in the Church Bibles. And it goes, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Amen.
Well, as a church, we're working through the book of Ephesians, but we've had little trips, excursions, off track, off piste. I'm going to have to do this manually, I think. Let's see. It's frozen. Doesn't matter. Let's try once again. Right, doesn't matter. It's a picture of a graphic of two people fighting with a shield and a sword in their hand. I think you've seen that picture before. I've shown it in previous weeks. And we're looking at, we've been looking for the last few weeks at the conflict that we have as believers against the world, against the flesh, which is our fallen sinful nature, and against the devil as well. So, and this morning, we're going to focus a little bit more detail on the conflict that we have, we face from the flesh, our fallen sinful nature. Then next week, we're going to get back into the text in Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible reveals that in our natural, fallen human condition, we were slaves to sin, to a sinful nature. We were slaves to Satan, the god of this world, and also slaves to the fear of death. However, through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished through his death and resurrection on the cross for our sins and rising again to give us new life, which we've received through repentance and faith, we have been released from our slavery. Our slavery to Satan has been broken through God becoming our new master. And he's a far more powerful master than Satan. Our slavery to the fear of death has been broken through our possessing the certain hope of eternal life. And our slavery to sin has been broken through God removing the guilt of our sins and planting a new nature in his likeness in our hearts, and God giving us the power that we need to live a life like him, a righteous life, a holy life, through the person of the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling our hearts. What wonderful freedom believers have been brought into. I wonder, are our eyes open to it? Are we rejoicing in it? Are we experiencing this freedom that we can have, that God has made available to us? However, the verses that we read this morning, today, reveal that as from our experience, I'm sure our experience, our Christian lives, that living in freedom is not automatic, and it's not without challenge, and it's not without a conflict. It's not automatic, because although we possess new natures as believers, remnants, remains of our old sinful nature still remain in our hearts. And though we possess power through the Holy Spirit indwelling us to resist the cravings and desires of the old nature and follow the desires of the new, well, we can choose, can we? We can choose not to avail ourselves of that power. And instead, we can indulge in sin. And that was what was happening among the community of believers in Galatia, addressed in this letter. And the results were destructive. Chapter 5, verse 15, describes them as they were biting and devouring each other. That was the church. That was the community of believers. What incredible. And the results could have been even more destructive, as Paul warns them. Watch out, or you will be not just biting and devouring, you will destroy each other. You will be destroyed by each other. What a shocking reminder that should be to us of the destructive effects which can be caused in our individual lives or in the life of the church as a result of us indulging in the cravings of our old sinful nature, which we still possess. Paul attributes the behavior of the Galatian believers to a false teaching, a perversion of the gospel which had infiltrated the church. And we know who was behind that. Satan is very good at infiltrating our lives and the life of the church. The false teaching claimed that faith in Christ for salvation was not enough. They needed to keep the laws God had given through Moses. And as a result of embracing that teaching, they were trying to attain acceptance with God by human effort, which was doomed to fail, leading them back into slavery and bondage, destroying their faith in Christ, robbing them of God's peace and joy and assurance. Another perversion of the gospel Paul mentions in some of his other letters is thinking that because through the gospel all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven, then we have a license to live as we please as believers. The deadly result of both perversions of the gospel, license on the one hand and legalism on the other, is that we fall prey to the power of the sinful nature. Any form of self-reliance results in the same outcome. We fall prey to the power of the sinful nature. And Paul goes on to reveal how different the sinful nature and the spirit are to one another. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and vice versa. The desires of the spirit are diametrically opposed to the sinful nature. And Paul highlights that to us by listing side by side the acts of the sinful nature and the fruit of the spirit. The acts of the sinful nature are grouped in four ways. First of all, sexual sins. Secondly, religious sins. Thirdly, social sins. And then he throws in some typical pagan excesses as well. Of the 15 sins listed, the most predominant are social sins. Social sins. 8 out of the 15 mentioned are sinful ways that we relate to our fellow mankind. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, disagreement that leads to disharmony, splitting into parties, and envy. And these particular sins were bearing much fruit in the churches in Galatia. And it can do the same in every church. And if the Galatian churches continue to keep in step with the desires of the sinful nature, further destructive works could manifest themselves, as Paul's list indicates. Not just social sins, there were sexual sins as well. Sexual immorality is mentioned. From a biblical perspective, that would refer to adultery, unfaithfulness to our marriage partner, but also all sex outside of marriage, as God defines marriage between a man and a woman. Also, as mentioned in sexual sins, is impurity, refers to a perverted form of sex and pornography, which stains our minds. Debauchery is also mentioned, refers to being addicted to sex. And in Paul's day, such sexual sins were not only being practiced outside the Christian community, they were practiced within, as indicated by some of Paul's letters to Corinth and Titus. And the same is true today. In many cases, the church, Christians, are only a few steps behind cultural norms. So social sins, sexual sins, and then religious sins. First of all, idolatry, withholding from God, the Creator, the supreme and exclusive worship that He deserves and that He requires. Worshipping created things, ourselves, material things, anything before the Creator or along with the Creator. And we believers can be guilty of such idolatry. Witchcraft, sorcery, calling on the help of evil spirits and demons. Believers would never usually have anything to do with the powers of the dark side. However, one entrance point is via astrology or following of star signs, which many believers imagine is quite harmless. We can give openings, entrance points for the devil in our lives. And then we've got so-called pagan sins and excesses, drunkenness, orgies, wild parties involving excessive drinking and indiscriminate sexual activity. We may never have lived in such a way, but we're capable of that. And we can live excessively in other ways, through comforts, or food, or lifestyle, or possessions. The acts of the sinful nature are mentioned, are not exhaustive. There are many other destructive sins which can manifest themselves if we keep in step with the desires of the sinful nature. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, Self-control, what beautiful fruit. It's why it's good to look at them parallel, side by side, isn't it? We see the contrast of the fruit. And says Paul, against such things, there is no law. And I want to give two wonderful examples of that from church history. I think I've mentioned that in the past before. Welsh Revival, 1904-05. Due to 20% of the population being converted, police departments had to reduce policing numbers because crime rates decreased so much. At the moment, there's great appeals. They're looking for apprentices. All the Cambridge, Bedfordshire, Hertfordshire, they're all looking for new recruits in the police force. But here we are. Crime rates reduced so much. They had to reduce policing numbers. Crime became almost non-existent. And as a result, the police, with little else left to do, they formed singing quartets. And they traveled around performing for audiences. I just try to imagine, were they wearing their uniform and their bobby hats and their quartets? It would be funny, wouldn't it? Amazing. That was revival. Welsh 1904. Revival. Ulster Revival, 1859. By 1 year later, crime was reduced. Judges in Ulster several times had no cases to try. At one time in County Antrim, no crime was reported to the police and no prisoners were held in police custody. In the village of Ahog Hill, drunkenness, fighting and swearing were prevalent. It was described by a policeman as the worst wee place in the world. But what a transformation took place. The local presbytery sent a deputation to examine the work and took note that drunkenness and profane language had been all but annihilated. Think too of Bellegy. Before the revival, one person said, it was the most degraded of Irish villages. Rioting and drunkenness were the order of every evening. And such a place for lying and stealing, I do not know. But when the revival came, it was said, as you pass down the street, you hear in almost every house the voice of joy and melody. Isn't that amazing? A wonderful picture of the beautiful fruit that the Holy Spirit can produce, reproduce in our lives. We've seen how contrary to each other are the acts of the sinful nature and the fruit of the Spirit. They're not only contrary, they are in conflict with each other.